Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a really cool guest for the show today, Millie Boats. She is very much a product person. She's worked at a lot of organizations doing product. And today she is VP of Product for Acast, which is a global platform for podcasting, connecting thousands of advertisers with engaged audiences. Millie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I can actually announce, so we're a listed company, so we publish our quarterly reports. And as of a week ago, we are proud to say that we represent 1 billion listens every quarter. So we have 140,000 creators that host their podcast with Acast, which represents 1 billion listens per quarter. And we work with over 3,300 advertisers globally as well.
So it's a
huge monetization, top tier creator network platform.
So this is going to be a really cool call because, of course, I do podcasting, I do business, and there's a lot of things that I've thought about, I've explored, and I know a lot of people who have. So this will be cool to unpack today. For the uninitiated, what is the problem that we're solving? For folks who are outside of the podcasting world, but maybe just do regular business, what are the problems that lead people to go in this direction?
Yeah, so I think we've really podcasting has become mainstream in the last 10 years, but I think podcasting as podcast advertising and really advertisers seeing the value of podcasting as a media in itself and becoming really mainstream in terms of influencing culture, influencing the important conversations. We recently had the US podcast election, as it was called, is relatively, I would say, on the rise in the last few years. So I think that depending on how we look at it, whether or not we see why do people go into podcasting from the creator angle or why do people go into podcasting advertising from the advertiser angle, maybe we can touch on both. So I think from a creation standpoint, I think a lot of creators know that podcasting is such an influential medium to connect with their audiences because it is really that lean in. And I'd love to get your opinion on this as well in terms of why you chose podcasting as your format. But it really is speaking to the people that are opting in to listening to you. So you can really have that direct engagement with your audience in a way where kind of display-based advertising, TV advertising isn't quite the same. And obviously, we see a lot of engagement between podcast hosts and their listeners as well. So I think that a lot of people go into that because they realize that they can reach a really engaged audience and they can also experiment with different formats. So obviously, we have traditional audio podcasting, but most creators are now seeing the value in also launching a video podcast and really making that content available across all of their channels. And I think that podcasting, even if you're not a podcast first creator, a lot of creators are seeing podcasting as just another medium in which that they can advertise to their audience. So it's always going to be a vital part of a creator's kind of distribution strategy. And then from an advertiser's point of view, it's leaning into the same dynamics at play there in the sense that for an advertiser, a podcast creator's audience, it's an audience that has opted in to listening to this creator. So the kind of influence that this creator can have, they're really the original influencers, I would say. Like we talk a lot about the creator economy now. Previously, we called it the influencer economy. But I would say that podcasters are the original influencers. And I would say that for those that don't really know podcast advertising, when we're talking about what does it mean to do podcast advertising, we're talking about either the adverts that you hear throughout a creator's episode, throughout a podcaster's episode. So for instance, you might hear on your favorite podcast, which obviously is Product Growth Leaders, but if it wasn't, let's say it's the New York Times Daily podcast, in between Michael Barbaro's soothing tones, you might hear an advert by McDonald's, let's say. So that's what we'd call an audio advert, which can be bought programmatically or it can be bought direct. But you might also hear, let's say, Michael Barbaro actually do a host read. And that kind of advert would be you or the content creator themselves saying, I had a McDonald's burger yesterday and it was really great and it was super delicious. And it was like this Big Mac, and go out and here's my code for free Big Macs for everyone. So you can really see, so when we're talking about podcast advertising, we're talking about buying either of those ad formats, either the pre-recorded ads that slot into your episode and are served dynamically, or we're talking about host read ads where the creator is actually reading and endorsing something. And you can really see that because creators have such a leaned in audience, that kind of advertising, specifically podcast advertising, can be so effective for advertisers. And as podcasting grows and the audiences that flock to podcasting, both in audio and video, grows, podcast advertising has risen, and people, buyers, are really seeing the return on ad spend from investing into podcast ads, whether that be what I talked about in terms of pre-recorded ads or those host read ads, which are really the kind of original influencer marketing.
Yeah, this is such an interesting topic. And just to answer your question that you threw out there, I, as a business owner, got into podcasting because it was a way for me to produce content in a way that hopefully some of my people I do business with might hear. So I'm not a huge social media person. I do a little bit of on LinkedIn, post from time to time. But I thought, you know what, maybe I'll create a conversation that overlaps some of the areas that I work in a lot, which is the strategy side of things, kind of like what you do on product, and then UX. My business is a design agency. And then since going into that, it opens up a lot of interesting possible next steps. And once you start doing it, you enter this world. And that's why I'm really curious about today's discussion. So it sounds like what you guys are doing is a two-sided marketplace. Is that right? For podcast, the creators, as you pointed out, and then just any company, for anything from Kleenex or whatever type of company, to someone who sells services, and you link those up?
Exactly right. So it's a marketplace platform between creators and advertisers that want to reach out and advertise against that creator's audience. So like you were saying, one of the things that's made this such an interesting product to work on is that really podcast advertising was not a very accessible medium, despite it being so effective for advertisers, because it was quite complex to really buy against podcasts previously because of the discovery problem, because it's a very, especially if we're talking about those host read adverts, it's a very one-to-one type relationship. That matchmaking has to be done with a lot of different factors in mind, such as your brand affinity, the creator's brand affinity, that's what I'm talking about, the information we have on the creator's audience, what the advertiser's campaign goals are, etc. So there's just a lot of things that you want to bear in mind with that kind of matchmaking. So a lot of people previously, before we launched our self-service ad platform, just podcast advertising was not accessible unless you were a larger agency that had been into audio earlier and you were going through a large sales network and maybe they had minimum thresholds. So really working on a scaled marketplace platform has been a big part of my job here at Acast, that's really allowed advertisers and creators to get connected on this platform at a much larger scale and with a much more democratic entry level than was previously possible in podcast advertising.
So what does the marketplace look like? Is it large? Because I've actually floated the idea. I went to a conference a few weeks ago and I just talked to a couple of folks who were at the conference selling some of the vendors. And I just floated the idea, like, hey, do you guys do advertisements on shows? What would that kind of look like? And none of the ones that I talked to had really thought about it or had any kind of a plan for how to do it with them worked out. Okay, that's good. I was expecting a little bit more. But is that part of what you help out with? It's just companies who are maybe thinking about it and but don't know where to begin or how much things are supposed to cost. Does it streamline that?
100%. We have, so our ad platform, you can literally go onto selfserveacast.com and then you will, I butchered the URL, so make sure you Google it. But you can literally go on there as a direct buyer And you can make a profile and join as an advertiser, and you say what your campaign goals are, who you want to reach. And then you can literally, within minutes, put forward a campaign of and we have AI features like our smart recommendations feature, which makes this super easy. So you can describe in natural language, hey, I'm looking to advertise against executives in Canada that have an interest in dogs. And then you will have the shows that are in our network. And like I said, Acast represents 140,000 shows, which represents 1 billion listeners quarterly. So really, we can operate at that scale of, if there is a niche audience you want to find as a brand, as an advertiser, you will most likely be able to find that audience represented within Acast Creator Network. So you can put in your campaign goals, you can sign up as an advertiser, you put in your campaign goals, you can speak to Acast representatives should you need. And like you were saying, like, a lot of people are new to podcast advertising, so that kind of activation element of our platform is really important. So we do have sales executives that you can speak to as part of that process, but you can also do it throughout the platform yourself as well. And you can go into that platform, and within minutes, you can upload your creative, so your ad creative, and you can have that run on a podcast ad campaign. And we have made it super simple to understand and to set up, because to that point, podcast advertising hasn't always been the easiest to get involved with. But with the advertiser side of our self-service platform, you really just need your company details, and you can be doing podcast advertising and having your ad run against all of these creators within minutes. Obviously, that's for the pre-recorded ad format that I talked about earlier, not necessarily for the host read format, which relies on more kind of collaboration with a creator. But we are also the only podcast platform that allows you to buy both ad formats in a self-service manner. So on Acast, you can also select shows that you want to do a host read with. And then through our platform, you will be able to collaborate with individual creators to get that host read developed and launched as well. When you ask, are a lot of people doing it? Our platform represents 3,300 advertisers and 140,000 creators. Obviously, not all of those 140,000 creators are at the size where advertising makes sense for them, but we have really low minimums to get into our marketplace because we are so good at doing that matchmaking at scale. But you have to have 1,000 listens or above per week to be eligible for ads and sponsorships.
How popular should a show be before, or does a show have to be before it becomes interesting to folks who want to advertise?
Super great question. And I think what we're seeing now, or what would have been the answer 10 years ago, is, oh, it's all about your download figures. But that's such a vanity metric. If you think that podcasting now is not just audio, it's across, you might, well, we're videoing this, it's going on YouTube, you might be sharing some socials to Instagram, and your audience across all of those channels might be interacting with you in different ways across all of those platforms. And as a creator, you really should be able to leverage that cross-channel performance to show to an advertiser how interested or engaged your audience is. And I'd rather a smaller engaged audience, if I'm an advertiser that's going to take an action on the back of hearing this ad that or watching this ad, than a lot of people that are receiving auto downloads, let's say, if we're going pre-iOS 18 upgrade. But I would say, so now we ingest a huge amount of data points that include social stats and different audience demographics and also your brand affinity to do that kind of matchmaking at scale that doesn't just rely on downloads. But of course, there has to be some download threshold. Otherwise, you don't want spam. You want a curated marketplace as well. So that's the 1,000 listens threshold for us.
Do metrics on some platforms matter more than others? And where do you get that stuff? So I imagine that you advertise, because I've got another podcast, it's called The Design Psychologist, and I get into my design psychology passions over there. And what I noticed is that with me and my team, we put out some ads on Overcast, and then we don't know how many people are listening on Apple. And then I'm starting to get the impression that the Apple ones might matter more. Unpack that world for me.
So because we're a hosting provider and we do the dynamic ad insertion, we get certain stats from the listening platforms. So for instance, Apple, Spotify, etc., we get all of the download figures. Obviously, if you're using platforms like YouTube and Spotify, which have proprietary platform stats, things like listen-through rates or Spotify plays, then we are the way in which a hosting platform would have to get that is through the creator authenticating their accounts with those other platforms to us, and we would receive that data back.
Gotcha.
Okay. I think it is, to acknowledge the problem space, it is right now very complex as a creator trying to aggregate all of the different stats you could have about one single episode, depending on where you have published. So you could have all of your audio stats in Apple, Spotify, then you could have your video stats in YouTube, etc. And like, that's one of the problems of our industry for sure, is how do we give creators the most unified and simple view of how their episode or how their content is performing? And that is one of the things that we are working very hard at Acast on right now to really nail what that looks like in a omni-channel environment for a creator.
Tell us about the difference between audio only and video podcasts during these times in terms of what you think people should do.
So I think the data quite clearly states that even if you are an audio first podcast, you should definitely have a YouTube presence, because YouTube is such a huge discovery engine. So even if you think that your podcast is more suited to audio than it is to video, I would encourage people to also publish on YouTube as well, just so that you can be available there for discovery. Because the things that our creators care most about is, how do I grow my show and how do I make money? And I think with growing their show, we, in our distribution environment right now, only distribute to open RSS, which basically means the podcasting ecosystem grew up around this open RSS protocol, which is that everywhere can, you can share your RSS feed to everywhere, but obviously a YouTube and a Spotify for video will rehost it. And if you do want to grow your podcast, it is important that, as well as sharing as an audio feed, you make yourself available on the biggest discovery platforms. So I would say that's what the data shows. And then in terms of monetization, I think it's really incumbent on big players like ourselves, like Spotify, like others, to really be able to monetize cross-platform, which is something that Acast is working on.
Now, obviously, every podcaster isn't Joe Rogan or a big name where they can do that and only that for a living. And so I imagine that a lot of people doing this, they have some mixture of the monetization of their podcast, like maybe it's partly leads generation, and then another part of it is, can you tell us about making that switch? When does it make sense for someone to really start thinking about that? And I imagine some of it's a numbers game, but.
Yeah, it's super interesting. So some research that we recently did say that kind of over 50% of our podcasters surveyed, it is their full-time income. And I think that's what we're seeing very broadly at a macro level, is the kind of the emergence of the creator economy being such a moneymaker for a lot of creators, if they are having a really diversified portfolio of where they're putting their content out, of which kind of podcasting can be a big strategy for that. And I think obviously the ads where the content creator is going to make the most money is in these host read ads. And so if you can make yourself available for sponsorship, that is something that can be incredibly lucrative. And like we were saying before, might have just been at the purview of those that could show the highest download figures. But working with platforms like ours, it allows you to be receptive to far more sponsorships based on different data points that we can gather about the creator. So at Acast, as a creator, you can make a profile where you tell us about things like brands you want to work with, where you can authenticate your social accounts and things like this, so that we can have as much of a diversified view of your data as possible to help us in terms of the tools that we have, like either AI recommendations or using the 10 years that we've been doing podcast advertising to really optimize that matchmaking between you and advertisers. Because I think that the sponsorships is a really lucrative element for a podcaster to turn what could be a side hustle into their full-time business. But like you said, a lot of podcasts are generative for the creator, not just in how much ad revenue they're getting, but also in terms of being a lead generation for a different business. So I definitely think that's one route, as being that magnifier for an existing business and using it more as your top of funnel awareness spreading.
Now, despite not being in sales at Acast, you're on the product side. You're doing a really good job of showing the value of this. So I just want to show you that it's really good stuff here. On the product side, what are you working on, and what do listeners right now, what should they be excited about in terms of what's coming down the line?
I've actually never been so excited about podcast advertising, only because I'm also a bit of an AI accelerationist. So I'm like, everyone else in the advertising system is going to get so displaced. But podcast advertising is more of a leisure, podcast listening is a leisure activity. And I think it relies really on human storytelling. So I think that we're a bit more AI proof than other advertising formats. So I was pointing towards building this marketplace platform, and it's essentially doing what we have always done at Class of connecting creators and advertisers, but doing that at a scale and a self-service, great user experience for the advertiser and the creator. And particularly what I was saying about sponsorships being, or host-read ads being very lucrative, they're also incredibly complex to sell in the sense that they rely on me as an advertiser, let's pretend I'm McDonald's again, and you as a podcaster. I need to know that you have an audience that's relevant to my campaign. You need to say that you're willing to work with McDonald's. I need to give you my creative brief. You need to record the ad. I need to review the ad. You need to make the ad, publish the ad if it's on video. So there's just a lot of steps in getting that host read produced. And what my teams have been doing have been designing this self-service experience to really automate a lot of this back and forth collaboration workflow to make it super seamless. So that is what we have been doing. And that is why we are, I would say, the most scaled podcast marketplace in the world for being able to buy both pre-recorded ads and host reads ads at scale. And then now that we've solved a lot of those collaboration workflows with a tool called Ad Collab, which is a fundamental part of our marketplace platform, we've now looked up funnel at solving the discovery problem of, okay, now that it's much easier to buy a lot of these host reads for companies that maybe it's easy to have a host read on 10 shows compared to the one bigger show I would have bought before, just because that workflow is so complex. Now that we can do that, how can we improve our matching technology such that we can actually effectively find all of the relevant shows that match a campaign's brief? And so that's why we've just released our Smart Recommendations AI product, which is retrieval augmented search. So it's like a super boosted search engine that works within our podcast database to find the most relevant shows for a campaign's brief and do that matching for us at scale. You
Ladies
can
and
also.
gentlemen, oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to announce that we'll say after this. We've been speaking with Millie Boats of Acast.com. Acast, everyone check that out. Please continue.
And yeah, so I was going to say, if you join our self-serve platform as an advertiser, Acast ad platform, then you will be able to use that smart recommendations feature just launched by our Acast intelligence team.
Gotcha. And that all makes it easier to connect the folks who should be connected. So you're not shooting in the dark, and you're getting more signal than noise. Is that correct? The AI is helping out with that.
Yeah, exactly. Because you might think, so say we're trying to sell burgers, you might think, okay, Joe Rogan's a great show for that because I imagine people that like McDonald's watch Joe Rogan. But this is
Yes,
all fantasy here.
I'm sure.
But it might be that actually, really randomly, some wellness podcast about protein is actually going to have the audience that you're trying to sell to much more. But you would never know that. And you would never have time, nor would our internal sellers, for instance, would have time to look through thousands and thousands of individual show descriptions and all of the transcripts to see what mentions they have and keyword mentions and things like this. So you need some really powerful search engine technology to be able to find the best matches. And we have 5 billion data points on our podcasters, which is how we are able to say through both the content of their episode and what we know about the show itself, this is the best match for your campaign goals.
Extremely exciting stuff. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on Acast because it looks like you guys have a bright future. Thank you so much, Millie, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. And tap is this on? No, this was just for
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.